Afternoon, although this will be played on Sunday as live, because it is live. I'm alive. I'm here. And we're going through Hebrews to Jude. And what we're doing specifically is we're looking at James. And we've been through James before, but we're looking at it from the view of an actual believer during the tribulation. And as an outsider, we see that there's a major difference in so many ways between what Hebrews to Jude teaches compared to what Paul teaches. And, you know, where Paul says him only, well, this is not written to us. But there's some stuff in here that's just fantastic to learn. Now, you know, for example, Paul talks about loving the brethren. Well, so does James and John. But James and John, the way they talk about it, if they don't love the brethren, these people are walking in the darkness, then they're not saved. They can't be. And you can lose it. These people have the faith of Jesus Christ, as do we, but they can lose it because they're told to keep the faith of Jesus Christ. We're not told that. That's the difference. Remember in Romans chapter 11, the Lord went to the Gentiles through Paul because the Jews had rejected him. So the things that we have, these Jews are now having the opportunity to get as well after the dispensation of grace, but they're going to have to walk for it. They're going to have to earn it. And that's why God puts the Spirit of God upon their flesh. So they are capable of doing that stuff. So yeah, they can have the faith of Jesus Christ, but they can also lose it. And yes, they should love the brethren, but if they don't, they lose their salvation. Yes, we should love the brethren and take care of them, each other, but we have so many outside sources yet today because, see, we can buy, trade, and sell. But they won't be able to then, and you'll know without a shadow of a doubt who the brethren are in the tribulation because they won't have any money. They'll be struggling. And they won't be able to buy anything or even trade anything. So they'll know who each other are. They'll have to be there. They'll have to assemble together. They'll have to be there to help each other, to provoke each other unto good works because they're going to get discouraged. You think we get discouraged? Can you imagine what they're going to be like? And then today, now there's some other things we've compared, but today we're going to look at something else that will help us see more and more, like we've been saying, things are taking place we can see the tribulation is just around the corner. It's just so many things are taking place that will be official in the tribulation. We can almost smell the tribulation. We're getting so close. Doesn't mean it's effect today, but we learn that it's coming, and it's close. How close? I don't know. Of course, God's the only one that knows that, but still. This thing today is going to help us understand why we are having the difficulties we're having today. And I have a feeling I wish I would have learned this or studied this a little bit better before they got rid of me on this job. I'm overexperienced, how do I say this, overexperienced, overpriced, and over the hill. Then they're hiring young ladies out of college. And the principals, most of the principals and administrators I've written to are ladies. I mean, there's something. The schools are a disaster. Anyway, we'll save that for another blog sermon or something here. But anyway. So let's look at the thing. This is quite amazing to me because we see this already happening today, more and more today, and it's going to be one of the official state doctrinal things in tribulation. Okay, we're at chapter 3 of James, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. Verses 2 to 12 are the reasons, and here these are the directions for why he said what he said in verse 1. So before we go 2 to 12 and see what this thing is all about, and don't you be reading ahead, shame on you, let's read verse 1 again, because there's two things I want you to see in there. My brethren, be not many masters. That's like too many cooks in the kitchen. That's like too many chiefs, not enough Indians. That's like, everybody wants to be the boss, but there's nobody in the company doing the work kind of a thing. Be not many masters. I mean, why do you guys all want to be the pastor? Why do you all want to, why do you want to do this? Because he says, knowing that we, meaning those that are masters, James and his crowd, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Well, first of all, is he talking about hell? Well, then James is going to go to deeper hell than these other guys? This can't be talking about hell. This has to be talking, now remember, during this tribulation, they are going to be judged. And they're going to have done everything right. They'll have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They'll be able to do the right thing. And when they don't, Christ will chastise and have to get them back on the trail. They'll have to ask for forgiveness and the whole thing. So what is he talking about? That we shall receive the greater condemnation. Who's we? James and the masters. How can they receive a greater condemnation? Meaning that their judgment's going to be harder. They're going to have more to answer for. Well, how can you say that? Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 explains it to us. Hebrews 13, 7. Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay. Those will be the masters that have the rule over everybody. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So now, we're seeing here that these James and these guys, yes, they are accountable for whatever takes place in 2 to 12 in a person's life. They'll be held accountable for that. So the people here that are being ruled over by these masters, by James and these masters, they're going to have to not do 2 to 12, for example, because it'll go against James. And what we see here, wish I could remember all the stuff I put together, because this is fascinating stuff. I have a lousy memory. But this sure does help us see why chapter 13, verse 17 in Hebrews certainly isn't to us. But I'll tell you, most pastors preach that thing. I've done it before, back when I was pastor. I looked at that verse. Obey them. There's that obedience thing that has the rule over you, you know, this pastoral authority stuff. And submit yourselves to your pastor. That's what they're saying here. And because pastors are watching for your souls, and they have to give account. So make sure that my account is done with joy. So make sure you please me, because it'll go against you if you don't. See, that's that power thing they put on people. But see, now it makes sense, because James and these guys, these masters, will receive greater condemnation. They have more they're accountable for. So when these people mess up, and verse 2 to 12, they fall into this trap, then James will be accountable for that. And he'll have greater condemnation. They have more things to go against him. Boy, no wonder pastors, when this is true, is a pastor going to put you on the spot and say, listen, I want you to do the right thing here, because it's my neck is in this noose with yours as well. Then a pastor is going to change. So what do we have today? We have today the pastors that think that, well, they're clean and green because they've got Timothy all wrapped up, and they're putting the pressure on you. And you better do it, because it'll make me happy, because it'll go against you, kind of a thing. That's what you put on people. That's called that guilt that Paul doesn't want to be preached. Paul says, don't preach them to that way. This is the goodness of God, not the severity of God. And again, you would think people would like to hear this. You would think that they could. But see, they look at it as by opinion. And no, we're going to the King James Bible. And when the devil knocked out the King James Bible to the point where people could care less what it says anymore, they don't care that it doesn't match their Bible. They don't even know what their Bible says. We have to show them that their Bible says what it says. Oh, I didn't know my Bible said that. Yeah, well, and this King James Bible, how can you say that God doesn't impute this because he took care of the law? How do you know that? Well, because the Bible says so. King James Bible says it. Your Bible doesn't say to rightly divide the word. Mine does. So we are. Well, this Bible's new. No, our Bible was here for 400 years. You're the one that's got the new stuff. So anyway, get back on the trail here. So that explains why James says what he says in verse 1. He's not going to go to a deeper hell. Why is James even going to hell? That's not even what the book, come on. So that can't be talking about hell. That has to be talking about their judgment accountability. For what? Well, now here we go, chapter 3, verse 2 to 12. Here we go. For in many things we offend all. See, the word for is the explanation preposition, kind of brings the reasoning for saying verse 1. Okay, For in many things we offend all. Okay, let's stop right there. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Okay, so the believer during the tribulation, even though they're not buying, trading, selling kind of a thing, they're still not to be offensive. Well, how can this be? Well, keep reading. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So he's talking about offending in word, with what is said. Now, here's all I want to get across this morning, is we know today people are becoming more and more offended by words. And even in my lifetime, that didn't used to be the case. We used to say all the time to some kids that come up to me, you know, and they would try to insult me and say I was skinny and all this kind of junk, you know, and which I was, I mean, all that back in those days. And I would just kind of look at them and say, well, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not hurt me. So we didn't care what people said. We knew enough that if they said, they want to say what they say, and America's got the freedom to say what you want to say. Well, excuse me. America has had the freedom in the past to say what you want to say. But now, you just don't have that freedom. We say things like, well, you know, the N-word. Well, when you say the N-word, it makes that other person think of the word. So why not just say the word? What's the problem here? Now I read in the news there's two N-words, and you can't say either one of those N-words. I don't know. But we just recognize that we can get in so much trouble for saying. I'm not even going to say the wrong thing, but saying something that the other person they hear doesn't want to hear, doesn't believe it. And people have lost their jobs, their high-powered government jobs, their plot, well, you know, the political things, all that kind of stuff. People in higher up in companies, they you know, one day they say the wrong thing and it's over. It's amazing. I do believe that part of my issue for here is why they didn't want to keep me going is because of some things that I said to a lady, made her mad. Well, come on, if you don't like it, then don't worry about it. That's my two cents on the whole thing. Plus, again, overexperienced, overpriced, and over the hill. That's why I'm not getting a job yet. So I got to find something else, lawn mowing or something that provides insurance, right? Anyway. So we're going to see here. This is what's exciting about this message this morning. We're going to see here that this thing about being offended by people's words today is a growing concern, because this is a major issue in the tribulation. You know, we said America doesn't have that kind of freedom anymore. We used to have it. Things are changing. Does that mean we're in the tribulation? No. How can you say that? Very simply, nobody's making me take the mark. I can still go out and buy something with cash. I can write a check. I can even charge it onto a card. I mean, you know, I can even trade somebody, my dog for another. Sorry, I won't trade my dog. I can use another example. He looked at me just then. I can trade, you know, whatever. So we're not in tribulation yet. But boy, we see things happening that are tribulational and are just getting stronger and stronger and worser and worser. And one of them is this thing about offending in word. Back to chapter 3, verse 2. For many things we offend all. I mean, they're offending people, you know. If any man offend not in word, this is how they're offending people. But if they're not, this kind of a guy, it doesn't offend somebody with a word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. That's a powerful man. Wouldn't you like to be able to stop doing some of the things you're doing? I mean, to be able to control yourself like the bridle in your mouth? Don't you sometimes wish you hadn't said what you just got done saying? Because one thing, we've been taught that that's a fearful thing now, is to say the wrong thing. You can't say the wrong thing to your wife. You can't say the wrong thing to your kids. You can't say the wrong thing to the lady at the grocery store, to the man bringing out. I mean, you can't say wrong things to all these. You just say the wrong thing and you're in jail, or you're being sued for, you know, harassment or something, just by what you said. But to be able to not do that, to be able to stop your mouth from saying some of the things, and then, you know, does Paul care about that? Well, yeah, Paul does. Of course he does. Let's look here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So, see, yeah, Paul tells us still, be careful what you say. No doubt he says that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Let's see what this thing says here. Oh, I'm going backwards with my references here, but I will go with that anyway. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. The victory, see, I'm going backwards. I went to the wrong reference here backwards. Anyway, the victory is going to be from the Lord's mouth. Because the enemy, or the people's mouths, the devil's mouth, as such, we'll see in a minute. So I jumped a gun on that one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back to us here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. And he says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That's all a mouth thing. Anger, clamor, and evil speaking, bitterness. It's all coming out in your mouth. Yeah, Paul doesn't want us to do that. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Well, sure. Look at Titus. Look what Titus says here. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also, this is before we were saved, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving divers, lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another. So we were doing those things. So those aren't things we should be doing. There's no doubt about that. Let's go back, should have stayed with Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 4. But it helps to learn your book, so we just go around book to book here. Let's go to Ephesians, my pages are so thin anymore. Wow. Ephesians 4. And we're looking at verse 29. Should have seen it right off the bat. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, which is good to know that. But, yes, Paul tells us to be careful what we say. However, in the tribulation, what the believers will say will be held against them. Well, what do you mean by that? Here's just a. Maybe I'm just finagling all this together, but I don't think so. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew, chapter 12. And we'll kind of tie all this up, and then we'll just kind of finish it off because we will have made our point this morning. And again, I didn't see what time we started, so we'll just do it till I'm done, and then I'm done. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you, Matthew, why'd you go to Matthew? Well, because, see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Peter is in there, James is in the Gospels, you know, he's part of the whole crowd there, Jude, all part of the Gospel stuff going on then. And remember, these things were being written by these guys because if the Lord had come back at Peter's request in Acts chapter 2, then if the Jews would have accepted their Messiah again, a second opportunity, he would have come back. They still had to go through the payment, the tribulation for killing him. But there was, you know, this thing with Paul would never would have happened. But they killed the preacher, Stephen, and Christ goes to the risen Christ, goes to Paul, goes to the Gentiles, because the Jews blew the Great Commission thing, and here's all the stuff that Paul gives to the Gentiles that the Jews could have had, but they didn't, and they lost it, and now he wants them to be jealous of him, you know. So, but when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God and the long suffering, you know, kind of thing, and he's tired of that stuff, then Christ is going to say goodbye, Gentiles, and then go back to the Jews. It's called the tribulation. So that's why this stuff all ties together: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Hebrews to Jude. It all ties together, same as Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8. It all kind of ties together here. Now, here's why I said all that little bunny trail ramble. Because he says here, Matthew 12, 36, you probably already looked at it by not listening to me. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And we're seeing James telling his people, listen, don't offend somebody in word. And if you can keep yourself from doing that, that's a perfect man. And that means you're also able to bridle the whole body. So all these works and stuff that they have to do to obey the commandments, they'll be able to do that if they can just keep their mouth shut. However, even saying the right thing is going to offend people, which we'll see here in a minute. So we are living in a time today to where we are starting to realize that what we say actually gets us fired. It actually offends people. We don't have the freedoms to say what we used to have the freedom to say. Now, during this time, they will be held accountable for every word they speak. Idle word. Idle word. I mean, you can just have an idle word, offend somebody, and make them mad. And they can turn it on you today, and they can burn you. Now, why? Okay, well, doesn't that happen to us? Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 12. This is why every word in this King James Bible has to be from God, and we can trust every word the way it's written. We just have to slow down our reading and study this thing and put it together, and you'll see some fantastic differences between what Paul says and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 1 through 8, and Hebrews to Jude. Okay. Look at what it says in Romans 14, 12. This is Paul speaking to us. So that every one of us shall give account of what? Of himself to God. Doesn't say word. Well, are we not going to be held accountable for our words? We're going to be held accountable for everything that we do of ourselves. That's what he says. That's the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be held accountable for what Paul teaches. And he teaches us, hey, listen, don't get that evil speaking coming out of your mouth. That anger, you know, put that aside. Get rid of that stuff. But Paul never threatens us with losing the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul never threatens us with condemnation. Paul never threatens us with losing our salvation because of what we said. Paul even tells us, now in the second half of this chapter, which we will do tonight, the second half of this chapter, he talks about having peace. And they better have peace in the tribulation. Paul tells us to have peace with all men as much as lieth within you. And we got, you know, we're off the hook. I'll save it for tonight. Let's get back to this thing here. So, yes, we will be accountable of ourselves, but during the tribulation, they will be accountable down to every idle word. Is there a difference? Yes. Let's read the rest of these verses in James chapter 3. Okay, so we just got done saying to these guys, listen, if any man offend, not in word, the same as perfect man is a perfect man. So this is their challenge. They've got, not only do they have to keep the commandments and keep the faith of Jesus Christ, they have to not offend people. And that's where, where's this? I gotta mention it. That's why we have Christians today that just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by saying the wrong. You bring up a King James Bible verse, you know you're going to offend them, so you don't bring it up. Because you like to have friends. You like to fit in. You like to be part of the crowd. You don't want your family against you. You don't want your friends to go away from you. You don't want to be by yourself. Listen, do you know how much people are going to be by themselves in the tribulation? And the brethren are going to have to be there for them. So, we're lonely too. Well, we are lonely. And when he says here, in the last part of this chapter, he says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in them in peace of them that make peace. So, do you know what you're doing when you're not saying what you need, what I should say, we. Do you know what we are, do we know what we're doing when we do not say a verse or a statement that we know should be said in that conversation? We don't say it because we just don't want to cause problems. We don't wear something that we know we should because it's going to cause problems. We don't not say things that they want you to say. You know why you don't? Because you want to keep peace. Paul tells us to keep peace. I forget where that's at. He talks about keeping peace. That's fine. But he also tells us, but you know what? Sometimes you got to have wisdom. You got to say the thing which you have to say. You have to. Our testimony about Paul actually offends Christians because their pastors have taught them to be offended. Oh, you're a Paul guy? Oh, I know all about you. No, you don't. Well, pastor says that you're a... Have you looked it up? Can I show you some verses? Let me ask you some questions. If you confess your sins, does that mean you're forgiven today? can I just be a Christian if I forgive, if I confess my sins? Well, but see, that's where you're coming up with this thing, friend, you know. And I mean, it just goes on, you know, it happens every day. Something comes up. Or what you wear. You know what you wear is going to offend somebody. Now, why is it that what they wear, what little they wear, doesn't offend you? Well, we haven't been taught to be offended. So we're not offended at this. We got tractors and stuff hauling trees and roof parts all over from down. We lost two store roofs. That's the tractors and stuff going behind me here. Sorry about that. So we aren't, and we shouldn't be offended. If they want to wear what they, if they want to dress like that and do this kind of stuff, if they want to go to the gym and act like that, if they want to go to the games and act like that, if they want to act like this in restaurants, if they want to wear clothes like that because it's hot and they haven't got any spiritual standard, and blah, blah, blah. The list goes on, you know. If the men want to be able to talk about the jokes they do, and, you know, fine. That's their problem. We're not offended at it. Matter of fact, sometimes we laugh more than we ought to. So why is it that we change clothes to fit in? Because we don't want to offend them, because they will be offended. So we are heading towards this James stuff, because for one thing, this is what's taught in churches, and it's taught at the totally wrong dispensational time, that yes, let's not offend anybody in their word. Let's wear what they wear, because then we won't hurt their feelings and make them angry and offend them. Oh, you mean, is that word conviction? Well, see, even the word conviction isn't right. The word is convincing. Have you been convinced yet to put on more clothes, thicker clothes, not just go and I could get into this stuff so much today, because it still irritates me about Christians. You know, what they wear, where they go. And I hear the justifications for them, and I hear the reasons for them. And, you know, we have to be so thankful for God's grace. Now, we know His grace isn't there so we can just be like the world. But we have learned that, you know what, we can be like the world, and God isn't going to hit us for it. He's not going to hammer us. He's not going to chastise us. We know this. So we don't have that inner fear of God getting us. Why not? Because we don't think about the judgment seat of Christ. We don't. That's so far away. No, it isn't. It's the next boop that happens from God. Well, I'm going to die. Yeah, you die and you go to the judgment seat of Christ. Well, I'm not going to die. Okay, you got the rapture. Yay. You know what comes after the rapture? Judgment seat of Christ. What does that mean? That means you're going to be judged based on what Paul taught, which is modesty. And it isn't just clothes. I can just ramble. I can just talk for hours on this stuff. It isn't just what you wear or what you don't wear or how thin or how short or how low it is for the women. It isn't how tight it is for the guys. It's how loud are you. That's also that thing. It's just how loud. Not just in your voice, but in your clothes. You walk into a room and boom! That's, God doesn't want that out of His people. And I'm going to get in trouble for this. I know from different ladies and stuff. But the jewelry thing and the I see it on Facebook all the time. They're taking pictures of their toes and their hands and stuff. See, look at this, you know. And it's just wild. And it's just, this isn't the way God wants it out of His believers. Yeah, but you know why you do it? It fits in. Or it's fun. Or, and here's the reason. Because I can. Well, I know you can. That's not the problem. Christ didn't do what Christ did, so we can. That's just such a worldly response. But I know why we say it. We are running out of steam. We're running out of gas. The Bible even says, it's in Daniel, where He's wearing out the saints. So what's going on during the tribulation? The devil's going to wear out those people that are trying to do the right thing. You know what's happening today? We're getting worn out because we wear something when it's hot. We don't do something that the world wants us to do. We do something that the world doesn't want us to do. I mean, the list goes on and on. And we're just we want to know this stuff, but we don't want to do anything about what it is that we know, because we don't want to offend anybody. So now, because people are being offended by word more and more, we have to be careful of what we say. Has anybody out there, I know some of you have, I just keep thinking of this, I'm not sure if it's even online anymore, niggerated Christianity. You know, is your pastor your nigger? Now, that's very offensive to people, but if they listen to the sermon, they see exactly what I'm saying. You're having your pastor do everything for you. And that's the definition. Get look it up in the dictionary kind of a thing. You know, that's what you do with it. I mean, in school, oh, man, if I'd have said it to some words out there, well, what was that one I said one time? And I even got called to the office over that thing. Oh, come on, what was it? It's, come on, think. I can't even think of it now. Pervert. Perverted. And the kids all gasp. Oh, you can't say that word. Well, why can't I say that word? It's about, you know, anybody that, and I explained it to them and let it settle down, kind of a thing. I got called into the office for that thing, which is probably part of the list of things why they got rid of me, because, you know, over-experienced, over-priced, and over the hill. And they got all these young people that come out of college that they know the right words to say to these little children who we have totally destroyed. Anyway, that was just a ramble for about 10 minutes, wasn't it? Sorry. Let's finish this thing up, because this is exactly what's put on us. And see, Paul doesn't tell us. He tells us to stop and get away from evil speaking, filthy communication, all that stuff. But he doesn't tell you to not say what's true. Paul is called an enemy because he spoke the truth. So it's not that this is anything new. It's just that the level of it today, well, it goes back to the Gospels, you know, where he said, you be held accountable for every word that you speak. Make sure you say the right thing and be careful not to hurt anybody's feelings and make peace and all this kind of stuff. We'll get to that tonight. But let's get back to this thing about the tongue here. So here's the point. Behold, verse 3, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. I wanted to tell you a story that when I rode on a horse, I didn't hold the bridle and the reins right, and the bridle was loose. Anyway, you know, like this, you want to tell people stories. You won't hurt them anyway. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, a little spark can burn down, you know, 500,000 acres, that kind of stuff. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Woo. Now, you know, we know that Hebrews to Jude is for us. So we don't have to, you know, we know that we can learn from this stuff. And so we can learn this about our tongue. We have said things we shouldn't have said. We have said things incorrectly. We have said things that did actually offend them, and it was offensible what we said. We know that. We get angry. What do we do? Our tongue starts spitting out, you know, the bad words, the filthy communication, that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, no doubt about that, and it's really hard to control. Can you imagine trying to control your tongue to where you could go to hell if you say the wrong thing? It's hard enough. I really have, believe it or not, I have come to be a very quiet person because I'm just tired of, you know, making people mad. That one time I was over for an Easter dinner and they asked me a couple of Bible questions, and away I went. We got into it for hours. And then one time somebody asked me about music. Marilyn Kent, if you're listening, you know that thing. It's a 4-hour answer I gave this guy, but he says, what do you think about music? And I could just yap on this stuff for hours. So keep the tongue quiet. Listen to the ladies. I mean, they just and you think I'm picking on ladies again. No, I'm not, because the men are just quiet anymore. Men just, You just look around. I know you're tired of me hearing this stuff. You just look around. It's just, it's amazing. And then, and Obama, get off the subject a little bit here. Then Obama makes a big thing about empowering women today at this G conference, what they call this thing, this world summit. So now you know where this is going. You know, it's amazing what's going on here. And one of the biggest things that goes on is the mouth. Everything from their witches laugh to their this loud, dominating voice in restaurants. I'm telling you, you go to a restaurant or a store or something, and I guarantee you, you listen. I know what, you know what you're going to hear? You know what you're going to hear. If anybody does, but they can say stuff. We can't. The strong man has been destroyed within the home. The strong man, in Jeremiah 33:11, I think it is, he says that one of the things that's going to be gone out during the tribulation is the sound of the millstone, the workplace. The man, man can't get the job. I mean, here we go. I've got a record, you know, 36 years long of successful music teaching. You'd think that I would have had a job by now based on my record. But every time I see who got the job, it's been a woman so far. Young lady, out of college, knows the note. They know the new thing. I think I've talked about this before. It irritates me. And they know how to speak that doesn't offend people. Are you kidding? It's just a power. Anyway, Eve. Look what Eve started with her mouth. She said, well, this is the good stuff. Come on there, Adam. This is great. Anyway. So what did Abraham's wife say to him? Hey, go over there and take the maid out for a date. Look what he came up with. Ishmael caused more problems than, whatever. Okay, let's get back to the tongue. Where are we at here? Set on fire of hell. And I was saying the fact that, yeah, we still have trouble with our tongue today, but the consequences are huge during the tribulation. Okay, verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Although we got people complaining about zoos, hunting license, hunting laws, you know, catching too many fish, and blah, 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 you know. Anyway. 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Well, now, wait a minute. He says the tongue no man can tame. So go back to verse 2, and if you can actually tame your tongue, you're a perfect man, and you can actually walk the law. You can actually bridle your body. You can actually take care, do the right thing. That's how much powerful it is if you can actually control your tongue. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That's true. I mean, these things about the tongue, I mean, they're true. They're not written to us, but we still learn. This is what our tongue does to us. But Paul doesn't teach us these things about what our tongue can do to offend people. Paul tells us not to speak evil. Paul tells us, watch out for that filthy communication. No doubt. Therewith, our tongue, verse 9, therewith bless we God with this evil tongue. Even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Oh, now this is where we start leaning toward. We're just going to go as far as 12. But that little statement right there is shades of this thing about peace with all people. You know, we're cursing men. We get in fights with men. And these people, after all, they're made after the similitude of God. These are still God's creatures. Come on now, don't talk like that to them, please. You know, God loves them too. See where this is how headed. This is where we're headed with this modern Christianity being taught this peace stuff, this not offend people stuff, this watch out for what you say, don't offend them with the truth, don't offend them with what you wear. I'd like to talk about that for another hour because it just so irritates me. It's just me. Hey, it's just me. I guess I've seen it. And when you're a teacher and you see the kids being brought up the way they are with what they wear and they're so used to it, and you wonder why the crime rate is the way it is, and you wonder why somebody's, you know, the women wonder, and this is going to make them mad, but the women wonder sometimes why somebody makes an approach to them or tries to touch them or something. Well, come on. Look at what you're wearing. You read these horrible stories about these women that are attacked, and then you read the whole story, you know, 2 a.m. outside the local bar. Well, I know this goes against everything and offends women. You mean if I can't? I mean, I haven't got any freedom, right to be there? Yeah, you got a right to be there, but it's stupid. And how you talk to people, how you talk to men, how that kind of a thing. And then some guy tries to make an advance on you. I mean, you know, the guy can be a pervert anyway and try to do that anyway, but they, you know, they usually find, they need to find out if the door is open a crack or not, and they perceive that the door is open by how you dress, by how you talk, by how you act towards them. And you've got, look at all the places you've got women to. You've got them in the workplace, you've got them behind the counters, and what do the companies tell the women to do? Come on, be sexy, be looking pretty, and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because it brings in money. The things that you ladies have to do when you work, it's just wrong. And you're forced to do it, or else you can't have a job. Oh, we're so messed up. We got to be so close to the end of this thing. But that doesn't make it any easier on a day-to-day basis for all of us. And how many people are mad this morning from listening to this because of what I've said, because of my words? You know I'm right. You know the Bible, put it that way. You know the Bible's right. You know what I'm saying is right about this word thing offending people. You know that, you know why you wear what you wear is because, or where you go and what you do and what you watch. You know why you do it, and you know you ought not be. Aren't you glad you're not in the tribulation? Yeah, so because you're not in the tribulation, and it's not, and well, just what you wear is just going to burn. You know, what you do is, yeah, well, it's going to be serious at the time it's burning. You're going to wish you hadn't. We don't think that way. None of us do. Myself, well, you know, we don't. We do what's comfortable. We do what doesn't offend anybody. Sometimes we do it because it's fun to spend money. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why this. We just have to be really thankful for God's grace. But we are as much a grace abuser as hardly as of anybody else out there, in lots of ways. Okay, let's finish this up here. Therewith bless we God, that's with our tongue, you know, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So then we'll do 13 here a bit later here, tonight probably, but let's just look at this word thing. They will not be able to offend people in word, and it'll go against them salvation wise. Hebrews 13, and it makes the masters, the pastor guys, the pastor masters, I guess, it makes them have that much more to be accountable for. Well, why do they have to be accountable for anything? Because they do. That's the tribulation. They will be accountable for every word that they say. And if it's a wrong accountability, because they have to walk the law, obey the commandments of God, see, we know that. And when he comes, if they've got any of that stuff on their record that they haven't asked for forgiveness, then they're not forgiven, and they'll be shamed at his coming. That's just what this is all about. That's the difference between what Paul says. Major difference. We learn about the tongue from James, end up not a problem, but we don't have the same consequences as those people in those days. And it helps us understand why today more and more people are being offended in word. Because this Bible is the Word of God. And if we present anything out of this Bible, even to each of us, somewhere along the line, we're going to allow ourselves to be offended. And you're going to look at me or the preacher or the husband or whoever, or the wife, whoever says that to somebody with a scripture reference, and you get offended by it. You're being offended in word. But we should not be offended from God's word. And God's words should not offend us. They might make you feel bad. They might make you angry at the guy that said it. But you know in your heart that he's right. Because God's word and words are right. And he's helping us understand that we're getting that much closer to the tribulation. So be thankful that you're not going to be in it, and then see if you can't quit worrying about offending people to a point where you can still get the truth across, because it's still your testimony. It's still you, your works, that are going to burn in the judgment seat. And if you want to try fitting in with everybody else, just don't tell them you're a Paul-following Christian, because you're not. Paul says you're going to suffer persecution. Why? One of the reasons is because of what you're going to say to people. One of the reasons is what you're going to wear. One of the reasons is where you're going to go or not go. The list is a mile long. And yes, he doesn't tell us to escape the pollutions of the world. He says in the midst of this world, we can still dress, talk, and do the things that we know we should. And not dress, and not talk, and not go to places that we should. If you have to go to these places, you don't have to dress like they do. But if you want to go to the river or to the beach, guess what? And if you don't participate, you're going to be persecuted. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Just be glad you don't lose your salvation over it when you slip on your suit and jump in with everybody else. Tough stuff, but exciting stuff when you see the difference between James and Paul. We'll finish that chapter up tonight.